Two elderly Queenslanders are currently being monitored after receiving a higher than recommended dose of the Pfizer vaccine. Neither are currently showing adverse reactions. It has now been revealed that the doctor who administered the vaccine had not completed the required vaccination training. Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt told Parliament that this was an act of human error and says this should not shake confidence in the rollout.
The rollout was intended to start carefully, to continue to grow and to continue to grow, and we're seeing that already this week. Thousands of Australians who are involved in ensuring that we are seeing our nurses, we're seeing our doctors, we're seeing our health workers being vaccinated, our quarantine and border protection workers, our aged care residents. All of these things are occurring, and that's the big story of what's happening in Australia, the confidence, the security, the next step.
Today's news has sparked questions around the training of staff who administer the vaccine and public trust in the vaccine rollout. Hassan Valley is Associate Professor in Epidemiology at La Trobe University and joins us tonight. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Patricia.
This is the first week of the COVID-19 vaccine rollout in Australia. Were you surprised to hear about an incident like this?
Look, not so much. I mean, obviously, we would be hoping that everything runs really smoothly all the way through this vaccine rollout, but this is one of the biggest logistical challenges we've ever undertaken as a country, and there are always going to be the possibility of some glitches along the way. And I guess you're more likely to see these issues in the early phases of this sort of a rollout, you know, while you get your systems and processes and checks and balances in place.
It's interesting you say that, because the opposition has said, well, hang on a minute, we've had a longer time. We didn't rush to get the vaccine. We've watched it roll out in other places across the world. So we should have been better prepared.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a really difficult situation. And I don't think... Firstly, I think this needs to be fully investigated, which, you know, my understanding is going to occur, so we can find out if there are any sort of system issues that have led to this. But, you know, the reality is, and we've seen this in other countries, it is a really big, logistically difficult job to get this vaccine out and get it out at the rate that we're getting it out. And, you know, even though we've taken a bit more time in Australia, this is still being done fairly rapidly compared to the way things are done in sort of peacetime, if you like. And so this is unfortunate, but we need to try and put this in perspective.
What are the implications of a high dosage of the vaccine?
Yeah, look, I think it's a really important question. And, you know, I guess the first point I'd make is that this is quite a different situation to someone getting four times the dose of the drug, you know, which could lead to the loss of life or lead to horrible outcomes. You know, without being too dismissive about this, the consequences are potentially either minimal or non-existent. And, you know, it may even just be that we've wasted some doses of vaccine. And I don't mean to be flippant when I say that, but if you understand the way that people determine the dose of vaccine for this sort of situation, what they do is they titrate out the doses and they see how they work in people. And what you're actually trying to do is you're trying to get the minimum effective dose. So you're trying to get the optimal dose that has an effect, and then, you know, there are doses above that that don't give you much benefit. And so probably what has happened in this situation is that these people have received an extra amount of vaccine that probably doesn't benefit them very much, but it's probably not going to cause them very much harm. And my understanding is these doses were part of some of the trials. So people have received these doses before and they've adverse consequences. So although this is a very unfortunate event, the implications, the most likely implications are basically that there are none.
Okay, but obviously there is a training, online training system for anyone who administers the vaccine. Does it demonstrate that that needs to be strengthened in some way to ensure that people are doing the training to make sure that nothing like this happens again?
Oh, totally. I mean, I think, you know, something has gone wrong here, and it's no good having a good training program if the people don't actually do it. So, you know, my understanding is the issue here is that this doctor, and whether it was his fault or the employer's fault, didn't do the very basic minimal training that was needed to be done before you're allowed to deliver the vaccine. So something has gone wrong here, and it needs to be addressed, and obviously needs to be addressed fairly quickly.
And just to be clear, this is in aged care. That's a federal responsibility too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I guess the politicians will probably focus on you know, who's in charge, and I guess that's their job to do that. Me, from a public health perspective, I just hope that whoever is in charge sorts out this problem really quickly, and so we don't have any more of these problems arising in future.
Will their ages, 88 and 94, impact how the vaccine might respond?
Yeah, look, I mean, we know that the older you are, you know, just like you age, your immune system ages, and just like things don't work so well as you get older, your immune system can behave in slightly different ways. So I don't think there are going to be any negative consequences from this particular event, but we do know that older people do react differently to immunisations than younger people. And of course, no one's going to take any risks. And I suspect these two individuals are going to be monitored more closely than they've ever been monitored in their lives before.
Looking more now to the public perception and response, will this situation shake trust in the vaccine rollout?
Look, I mean, I hope it doesn't. But clearly the optics of this are not great. And for people who are already sort of a little bit hesitant or have their, you know, have concerns about the rollout and the vaccine, this will probably feed into those concerns and worries. So I think it's going to be really important for us, and by that I mean the media as well as commentators and the government, to go all out to reassure people that this particular issue is being addressed. There aren't consequences here. These people are going to be fine, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure these sorts of things don't happen again.
And just on, I mean, I know you're saying, you know, your job is public health, and I absolutely respect that. But earlier today, the Queensland Premier, Anastasia Palaszczuk, called for the Prime Minister to hold an emergency national cabinet meeting as a result of this incident. Is that kind of approach a good idea, though, the idea that they all get together and just make sure that they've got all their ducks in order on this?
Look, yes and no. I mean, I think anything that we can do to make sure that these sorts of things don't happen again is good, whether that needs the National Cabinet to get together or whether that just involves the people involved in implementing the delivery of the vaccine. But I guess what I would say, this is an important time for leaders to be leaders and to be calm and measured and not overreact and not play into the hands of people who are trying to spread misinformation about the vaccine. So, you know, I think we're all clear that this is an issue that occurred that we wish didn't happen. But there's no place for panic and hysteria. We really need to be calm and measured and respond to this in a sort of sensible and proportionate way.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Nice to speak to you.
And that's Hassan Valley, Associate Professor in Epidemiology in the School of Psychology and Public Health at La Trobe University. This is RN Drive.